Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the June 6th edition of Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Brian Stark of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois. And Dan Zwicker is at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Look us up. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. You can find us in iTunes, the Google Play Store, on Spotify, SoundCloud, and in the NPR One app as well. Let's begin our conversation by going through some of the technicals that have happened in the last week or so. Dan Zwicker, I think I'll have you lay those out. We'll start with corn because there have been new yearly contract highs. Where do we stand?
Well, corn is going to, unless something just totally falls apart as we finish out the month of June, I mean, we're going to have a monthly reversal. Then we're going to have a quarterly reversal on the corn chart. So it does at least technically imply that the corn has made a major low and this rally is just actually beginning. Now for the week, we're maybe down a few pennies, but today's recovery or Thursday's recovery, and if the market follows through on Thursday's reversal, then we could actually finish out the week higher and continue that string of higher weekly closes that we've had. So I look at the big picture of corn, especially with the quarterly reversal. That's almost assured, and I think that pretty well tells us that we've got a major low in place and we're going to break out of this sideways pattern that we've been in, basically 320 to 440 for the past 6 years. Now, July corn did go up against it and then kind of stopped again. And I looked over at the cash chart. Central Illinois cash corn went right back to the 16 highs. There was a chart gap that it went and filled and then backed off. But I think today's action, if it follows through and we close out the week higher, then I think corn has another run to the upside to bust through those that upper end of that sideways trading range. And then once we bust through that, then the gates are kind of opened up then for a move on up to the $5 level.
Boy, you are pretty darn confident on the 6th day of June, predicting that we'll have a quarterly reversal to the upside for the 3 month period. We've got a lot of time between the end of this month and right now. What makes you so confident?
Oh, we ended last quarter on the rear end. Remember the bearish quarterly stocks report on the last day of March sent corn futures reeling. So we had a very poor close on the first quarter. And of course, those prices continued to weaken until finally the weather market took hold and they finally realized that planting was not going to be a normal planting this year. And then, of course, we've shot sharply higher. You know, we were sitting around, what, 350 on the corn. So now we're up around 420. So, you know, we got about a 70 cents, 80 cent advance in corn. And I think it's pretty hard to lose that given current conditions, because I just don't see anybody coming out with any evidence to make corn turn into a bear market here over the next 3 weeks.
Brian Stark, what are the fundamentals as you see them for the corn market at this point?
Well, obviously, I think the window has finally opened up, and it's really a question of in areas that are in the east where we're behind in corn planting progress, how long those producers continue to try and plant corn. In our area in central Illinois, guys continue to plant corn and probably will so at least through the 10th, which is Monday.
and maybe even possibly the 15th, given the drier window they've had. The northern section of Illinois obviously continues to be very wet, and they may not be able to. Areas to the east in Indiana and Ohio obviously are even further behind and may not dry out given the calendar. So the fundamentals are lost acres, whether it be preventative plant or to beans. And obviously what the impact of such a large percentage of the crop going in late in June is going to have to the national yield. And I think to Dan's point, I don't see a scenario technically or fundamentally that really changes the picture. The trade may be moving away from the acreage story temporarily, given the inability to quantify the impact today, and focus more on what the yield potential is going to be the next 30 to 60 days. So maybe we work sideways and not into new highs yet. But I'm with Dan. I think at some point in time, corn potentially has a dollar upside.
Chip Dellinger, do you have a different story to tell?
I don't have a different story. I think it's dead on. Dan and Brian hit it head on there. I think that it's just really hard for the market to figure out agronomically what's going on. Since Sunday, this past Sunday evening up until basically this afternoon, there are millions of corn acres going in the ground. The market sees that, says, great, corn acres are going in the ground. But if you talk to producers in the tractor cabs right now, if it were May 10th, no one would be planting right now in those areas. So it is literally getting mudded in. That's hard for the market to understand that, number one, it's June 6th, so yield potential's down on that corn regardless. And then number two, it's getting mudded in, so that takes another whack off the top end of yields. We're really going to be fighting this out for a long time, but I think that there's plenty of upside. I think you got to see at least $5 corn at some point in time. You can put a pencil to it, as everybody's doing right now. Pick your number, 5-6 million prevent plant acres. Put a yield in there of X. I don't know what X is, but I know it's not 176 yield. It could easily be in the low to mid 160s. You do that on 5 million prevent plant acres. We got to ration about $1.3 billion, $1.4 billion out of this carryout to stay at $1 billion bushel carryout end result. Bottom line, only higher prices do that.
Hey, we've had 2 5 handles. Dan, what do you have?
We better sell corn on the open tonight.
It is scary because everyone's saying this. I'm really scared about that.
If it does go to $5, I don't think it's going to do that right away. I think it's going to take its time. I think it's got to build. And I think the market needs. I think the market is from Missouri on wet crop years like 93. You know, 93, we had a rally in July. You know, into the late July timeframe when the flood crested on the Mississippi River, and that house. I remember that house on CNN floating down the Mississippi River. That was about the day I think corn topped out, and then the market set back during August and into September. And then when we started getting yield reports from the field that rain didn't necessarily make grain. And then, of course, the October crop report, you know, made acreage adjustments and big yield adjustments, and the market just kept on going in 93. So it made us high. December corn made us high in December. The March contract was the lead option when old crop corn made us high that year, and that was right after the January 94 crop report. So I kind of think corn is going to follow more of a normal seasonal pattern of a short crop, and it would have a tendency to peak more during the last 4 months of the year or 5 months of the year than anything. So I'm kind of looking for maybe like an August, September, October high. Once the combines roll, once USDA gets all the data out. Right now, I think it's anybody's game. Nobody knows where we're at. And corn could take its time moving to those higher levels and wear everybody out. I'm sure the market's going to kick a few times and shake out all the week longs before we do go to those higher levels, if we do go.
Hey, Brian Stark, there's an awful lot of corn left in the bin. How hard is it going to be for those doors to open up?
I think it's going to be extremely hard. We've already seen Eastern Corn Base as the end user who has been living in a world the last couple of years of hand-to-mouth demand, spot basis, now looking out at deferred coverage given the unknown. And Dad's absolutely right. I think higher prices, I would agree with him, may happen later down the road and maybe eventually, just speculation, but I think the end user's nervous, and Eastern Corn Belt basis on corn has been very, very strong and continues to show the coverage needs. And I think from that standpoint, the producer is not only aware of that, but also the fact that there could be an upward board movement. So they're going to be very diligent and patient to move grain off the farm, and rightfully so in this type of environment.
I would think Chicago wheat would need to get out of the way for some of the dollars that we're talking about to come to fruition. Maybe. Is that in the cards as well this week, do you think, Brian?
You know, wheat today up 19 is kind of interesting to me. Obviously, I don't personally follow it as closely as others, but, you know, wheat's fundamentals don't argue for continued rallying into this type of $5 area. And I would agree with you. I think if wheat stays strong for whatever reason, I think that does help the corn situation if the corn market does want to rally.
Worst case scenario, and I don't know what happens that holds this market back, Chip. What are the things you have to watch for besides a tweet?
Yeah, well, I think a couple things. Obviously, trade issues with Mexico, China. But I think the market's done a good job of trying to digest that. I think the one thing is, and I've already heard the screaming higher $7, $8 corn numbers. I think it's a little different environment. Number one, South America has about 1.5 billion more bushels of corn than they did 12 months ago. That's going to cushion us a little bit. My point is, I think that the demand rationing in corn happens way quicker than it did in years past when we had bullish supply-driven markets. So I think first and foremost, in fact, earlier this week, you already had some confirmation that several cargoes, maybe up to 1 million metric tons of Brazilian corn has been booked into the eastern seaboard of the United States. So I think the demand rationing will happen quicker. I think that's something we really have to keep an eye on, and maybe not just get too bowled up here thinking we absolutely have to go to $6 or $7 corn, when in fact maybe a 5 in front of that corn number will go a long way towards starting to ration the demand out of the balance sheet that that we need. So I think demand is number one on my books on corn. And then I think I agree with Dan 100%, right? In past years where we plant late, the market's going to fight out this prevent plant number. Unfortunately, in my simple mind, I would think that the RMA, somewhere about August 1st, could hit a button on a computer and give us the exact number to the half acre of what was prevent plant, but they don't report it that way. They report it just in bits and pieces over about 3 month time frame all the way up into October, and then we're still fighting that out to the January crop report. So this is going to be a slow moving. It was quick. The first dollar was quick. I'm not so sure that the next 50 cents or dollar in corn is going to be quite as easy.
Brian Stark, I want to come back to you for just a moment on the idea that this Brazilian corn's coming into the Southeast. That's not terribly unusual. However, I bet you're thinking quite a bit about this, especially as your rail lines move that direction. And I'm wondering if you're very worried because there is so little corn in Ohio, or will be probably, and parts of Indiana, that could continue much longer during the year, given the size of the Brazilian corn crop.
No, I would agree 100% that is something that bears watching. And really, it's all about economics. You know, in Wilmington, where you can import there's transportation costs from a loadout facility into the interior, which the closest interior facilities tend to be about 60 miles away. So when you unload the boats, then you're trucking it in the interior. So it's really economic, and it really depends on the eastern domestic processor, the ethanol plant, how long they're willing to stretch and keep those interior interior bushels there, and that cost, that basis, will drive the economics of how large of an import program we potentially could see, because it happened back in 2012, and this year, why would we assume any different? And I think there's still going to be avenues for the rail line, the elevator shippers, to take advantage of good basis values, but that's definitely something that's going to be a potential negative impact to demand. And I think, you know, Chip was talking about a supply-driven market, and I think that's one thing we have to pay attention to, is that in this environment, while we might argue we have to reach a level of ration, that you've got a world supply that is relatively comfortable still, and the Brazilian, the Argentina corn crop can move into our market if so necessary, and it's different than a demand-based led bullish market where it's more long-lasting and sustaining. So that's something we have to pay attention to from getting overly bulled up. I think $5 area corn is attainable, but I'm with Chip that I don't think 6 or 7 is something that the market's going to need to get to ration supply.
Yeah, so can I ask you, you mentioned that we're on the global perspective not in such bad shape. Even is that the case even if we come in with a 12 billion crop here in the United States?
I think that changes the perspective, absolutely. I think right now it's a question of we're incenting the South American grower to plant more corn, whether it be first crop or the Safrinha crop. He's going to expand corn acres. And I think really, in order for us to have a comfortable supply, if we really are raising a 12 billion bushel corn crop, it's going to, all eyes will turn after the first of the year to what the Brazilian and Argentina corn crop looks like to rebuild that supply before the U.S. farmer gets back in the field in the spring of 2020.
This is the first time then that we've really had to think about two corn crops, north and south, and what impact that has on the marketplace. I mean, we have thought about it before, but not in the way we think about soybeans these days, where we know there's a second crop coming, and we know that second harvest, when that harvest is happening in South America, and we watch the change in the export market. That'll be interesting to discuss and watch over the next 6 months, I would think, Dan. And you were inside some of the big corporations that handle and move this crop around the planet. They've got to be getting themselves set up to transition from one hemisphere to the other, I would think.
Oh, I'm sure they are. They're playing chess. But they're going to be very deliberate about it because it's not really good public relations to probably bring in a lot of foreign corn into the United States to meet demand. So usually that corn comes in through smaller companies that nobody really knows about. I do know that there was a couple big name companies mentioned on the wire, but I wouldn't necessarily say that would be true. A lot of those companies are real sensitive to the public relations part of doing that. But they're positioned in all corners of the world, and they'll get their supplies lined up. But they'll do it fairly deliberate. But they're not going to bring any more corn in the United States than they have to, because it's just bad PR for them to do that. So, we'll have to see what this corn crop actually materializes to be. But if we're going to, next year, I'm sure U.S. corn acres are going to go through the roof. And we're already talking about maybe South American corn acres going through the roof. So that all means that you go over here and buy beans, even with the billion bushel carryout, beans are probably going to go higher because corn's going to lead them higher, because everybody's going to fear that we'll plant the whole world to corn. And overall, long-term oil seed supplies are declining, so therefore soybeans become more valuable, and soybeans will go along with the rally.
Well, we have to worry about the soybean crop, or the size of the soybean crop for this year first. That it really hasn't happened, I don't think, Chip Nellinger, to this point, or not very much.
No, I don't think so. I would agree with Dan that corn is going to help hold beans at a certain level. And I don't think the bean market, look, how many millions of acres, 70% of the country's bean crop is going in after the 1st of June. I don't think anyone in their right mind can assume we've got a 49 bushel national average yield coming at this point. So you shave 4 or 5 bushels off the bean crop, And it's not like $12, you know, $12 bean number, but it sure cuts 300 or 400 million bushels out of the carryout in a hurry. So this thing is far from over, and it's really going to take a long time to figure out what the crop is. I think the action of today tells you a lot. It was really good to see, because for 3 years plus, every big rally that we've seen, it just gets met with just unending fund selling, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, we're down at the lows. And I think the action of today, where we were sharply lower overnight, we had bearish exports this morning, we got a weather window that's opening up a little bit, and yet we rallied sharply off the overnight lows. That tells me that this thing has changed from a sell every rally mentality to a buy every break mentality. And that's good news going forward, in my opinion.
You did see the bull spread work a little bit. You saw July a little stronger than September, and September a little stronger than December. That's the thing that you got to watch. When that bull spread goes into full throttle mode, that tells you the market's worried.
How many acres transitioned to soybeans? Anybody got a guess?
I don't think it's as many as the market fears, because beans aren't high enough. If I put myself in the shoes of a producer, I mean, I'm going to keep planting corn, or I'm going to take prevent plant corn, because the revenue isn't there on beans. If I'm going to bet on higher prices, I'm going to plant corn and bet on higher corn prices. So I think you could see a million, million and a half. I don't think it's going to be a massive number like some people are talking.
Yeah, I agree with Chip, and I'd probably even be less than that. I think he's spot on. It's, you know, the corn situation argues for higher prices, so guys either stretch and take a discount, a percent a day off their prevent or their revenue guarantee to continue to plant, or they take prevent plant. I think beans in most circumstances is probably a secondary decision.
Yeah, Biz, I think on crop insurance, can't you take prevent plant on the highest corn planted acres you had in the last 3-4 years? So you're better off, if you can't plant corn, you're better off to take the prevent plant rather than plant beans. So there's not very many acres going to switch. And then I think you got to talk about all of these lost acres. I mean, all this flooded acres. I mean, all your river bottoms, creek bottoms, all your low-lying land, none of that's going to get planted this year. You know, that's all going to be weeds, you know. So we're going to lose a lot of acres. I actually think soybean acres could come down from USDA's number.
The lost acres are what the 1993, the market couldn't get hold of what the lost acres look like around the river system. We, of course, didn't have prevent plant to get a count on to begin with, but we'll have both sets this time around, right? We'll have both, as you alluded to, Dan, the prevent plant acres, which we probably won't know much about until we get into October, and the lost acres are still there as well. What haven't we talked about that we should? We didn't take Mexico up very much. I think we'll just have to wait on that one. Trade with China doesn't seem like that's going to be settled out anytime soon. Will we have a home for all the soybeans that we have in stock already, and that will be put into the bin this fall, do you think, Brian?
No, I don't. I mean, I think obviously depending on how short the corn crop is, we'll create potential additional bean space for the carryout or for people to carry beans forward, given the supply and demand fundamentals. I think ultimately, though, moving forward, this is, you know, you hate to say it, but something that the bean market needed, because without a trade deal, you almost needed something where we had a subnormal bean crop to even eat into the carryout, because the demand base just is not there. And you were in a risk, even as a matter of 4 weeks ago, thinking that acres may switch to beans before corn started to really take off. And that's exactly what the market didn't need, is a growing bean carryout without that demand base from China.
So what does next year look like? Dan already mentioned that we could have a big race for corn. It might take a while to get through all the soybeans that we have. That doesn't bode well. Let me put it this way. Usually you say short crop, long tail, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that true? Is that true for this supply cut? Is that true? Do you think that will be true?
It depends how short we are. and nobody knows for sure how short we are. I don't think $4.40 futures or $4 cash corn in today's environment is excessively high. I think, and I don't think it necessarily rations any demand at $4. Now, you know, if at some point in time we realize that this crop has to go to $5 or $5.50, then we start rationing demand, and then we get into that short crop long tail, or the crop peaks early in the marketing year, then has a long tail. Now, this is going to be, but, you know, I just don't think the market has, I know it feels like we've rallied a ton, but we were messing around with $3.50 corn, which was terribly cheap. Now we're only at $4 type corn, a little bit better than $4 corn. This will be the year, if we do have a short crop in corn, and I think everybody's too comfortable on these beans. The funds are still super short these beans, and they may start going long this corn. There's a lot of buying power yet in this corn, and they start covering their shorts on beans. These beans could go up a dollar easy. But I do think farmers need to be watchful for 2020 opportunities and 2021 opportunities, because I do think we're in a long-term bear market as we go on into the middle 20s, 2023, 2025. I think we're going to have some pretty depressed prices. So this is the chance, I think, for that bubble up after this long sideways market that we've had since the 12 high. If we can get both corn, soybeans, and even wheat to rally and show a nice retracement back to those 12 highs, farmers are going to have to take a look at selling next year's crop or maybe 2 years' crop. They need some professional help on that, and you got to be careful on that, because the spread, it'll be a spread game. You know, the distant contracts are not going to look attractive, but they may end up being attractive, just like when we went up in 12, you know, you had $5 corn offered for 13, 14, 15, and then nobody wanted to sell $5 corn. But they wish they should have, you know, because they were looking at $6 corn in the spot market. So, yeah, the distant is going to be a dollar cheaper than what the front end is, and that's why I don't think we've topped this corn market. We need to be more at 450 or 550, and new crop needs to be about 450. Then, you know, maybe that's going to be worth the sale.
Hey, Chip Nellinger, I'm going to let you jump in on this as the professional, but I need to confirm that Brian Stark's not going to give them a bid for 2020 anytime soon.
No, actually, we will. We have a bid for 2020. I don't know about 2021.
Do you really?
We do. We do. We have a bid for 2020, but I'm not sure. I don't know if anybody would stick their neck out trying to figure out what corn's worth for 2021 today. But, you know, the producer, I agree with Dan. That's the key. You know, at some point, the market's going to reach a rationing level, and the producer has to be comfortable enough knowing that it's incenting not only rationing demand, but incenting additional acres out in the deferreds. They need to be able to take advantage of that if and when that time comes.
And now, Chip, what's the professional advice?
Yeah, 2020, I agree with Dan. I think you have to take a look at it. It's probably a little bit early right now. The one thing we haven't talked about is, a little bit, I guess, but the China trade agreement. Okay, if there is one, I guess my opinion right now is the only news you could get out of that is good news. I think we've digested the absolute worst news. There's no agreement. They're not going to take any of our corn. They're not going to take any more of our beans. I think that's in the market right now, and we work backwards from there. So any news out of China, in my opinion, is good. So you got to be a little bit careful. I do agree that we could be in store for a huge amount of corn acres in both hemispheres, starting this winter in the southern hemisphere and then again next spring here. So I do think you have to keep an eye on the 20 crop, maybe even the 21 crop, but for sure the 20 crop. But I think it's a little bit early. I think you want to get a little bit down the road here and see just how high we get on the 19 crop and how this crop's going to progress before you do much. If we got in the 435, 440 zone on Deese 20 corn, I think you absolutely have to start on something.
Let's get a final word from each of you now. Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. I'll start with you today.
This is the time of year that the meteorologists and the climatologists begin to kind of see if there's any weather pattern shift in the works as we approach the summer solstice. And this is always a time frame that I always watch for weather pattern change. If you don't get one, then the current one kind of stays in place. And that's the question that Todd's going to have to hammer at each one of these meteorologists he interviews every day, what they're looking at 10 and 20 days down the road, if there is a pattern shift in the works.
You can remind me about that on Twitter. Brian Stark, your final word for the day.
I think it was mentioned earlier, but I think we are 70 to 80 cents off our low for growers that are carrying a bunch of old corn. There's big strength in the corn basis in potential markets in the east. I think they have to look at considering at least taking advantage of those and rewarding the market and reduce some of their exposure and stay long maybe a little bit more in the new crop. But that's my focus on what we've been talking to guys about, encouraging them to sell into this rally we've seen on their old crop length.
And Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Well, Todd, it seems like I preach every time I'm on here, but my final word would be this is a perfect example of why you need a plan, why you need to stay on top of it and execute that plan, and why your plan needs to have provisions in there to change. Crop insurance is a big part of that. It's not all lost, right? Crop insurance plays a big role in that. I would say refine your plan, pull your yields down, see what your guarantees are. If you're going to take prevent plant, consider owning that on paper somehow to gain the revenue. Lots of things, lots of moving parts in here, but don't give up. Don't get too dejected. There's ways through this. I know producers right now are in high stress levels, depressed, mudding corn in. It's not what they want to do, but sometimes you got to take a step back, review your plan, or get a plan if you don't have one, and proceed with the next best option that you have at this point.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find it and listen to it on demand anytime you'd like. Our home webpage is WILLAG.org. Our thanks again this week go to our panelists, including Brian Stark of the Andersons, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.